Hello, AfterBuzz TV. My name is Lauren LaGrasso, and I'm so excited to bring you an amazing pair of musicians here. They are wonderful. You need to know about them because they're going to be big stars. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Your clothes are fine and dapper, and you're looking kind of cute. I'll be Buddy Holly, and I'll let you be my piggy.
There once were two rebellious young girls who met at 6 years old in a small town in Sweden. By the age of 14, those girls started performing original songs as a duo, and in 2012, they began performing all across Europe and Russia. Since then, they performed at several festivals overseas, as well as Canadian Music Week, South by Southwest, and CMJ, and even added a boy to their music-making crew, turning them into a trio. They've released a series of singles including Killers in a Ghost Town, Hollywood, and Sad Girls Club. Their upcoming album, Ugly Youth, will be their first full-length release. That trio came to be known as the Magnets. They are here now. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
And we're down one man. We're down Thomas.
Yeah.
He had to go and be a father on us.
Baby yes. daddy.
A responsible yeah. father.
That's good, though. You yeah. know, we respect him.
Yes.
But he's missing out on the greatest interview of his life.
Oh, my God.
Gosh, poor Thomas.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, because you were the originators, though, so we'll get the full story of how everything went down, and you'll tell me from A to Z and what might be beyond that.
Oh, we'll tell you yeah. everything.
Yes. I love it. So you first met each other when you were six.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How far into that did you start collaborating and realize that you two were kindred spirits?
By the age of 11, we started a punk band called wow. Ulastova. And Ulastova. Sing about, yeah.
Ulastova?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we sing about, like, not wanting to go to the disco and...
Yeah, stuff like that. Like we had that. One song that was... I Don't Give a Shit About You. It was called. And it was basically about that, like not wanting to go to the disco and just, you know, stuff we could relate to. Yeah.
Right. Kind were of. A lot of 11-year-olds at that time going to the disco? Is that a big thing for teen or preteens, I guess?
Yeah.
Be?
Yeah. The wow. middle school dances where you're like, we have actually a song about that on the record.
Oh, nice.
It's called Lovers/Losers. And it's kind of about that little disco vibe where you're like, drenched in your mother's perfume, trying to act cool, but you know you're a loser deep down inside, and you gotta find another loser to hang out with.
And that's what's actually cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very nice. So do you remember how that song went at all?
Oh, yeah. It's
a little sample.
All right. Do you want to... Sana play the drums.
I love it. Just give us a little beat.
Okay. You gotta count me in.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, we did it, yeah, we did it. Y'all better ready today. Y'all kick it for day, y'all kick it for day. For y'all better ready today.
It wow. was Swedish.
I was going to say, yeah, but I like it. I got the feeling, you know, there's a lot of angst there.
Yeah.
So when did you start writing in English? And was that because you wanted to or just because you thought it'd be applicable to more people?
Originally when it was just the two of us, I was writing the songs, and I started writing because my father is a musician, and I always like had music in my family, and my father's friend had a studio that was like the only studio that I knew about in our hometown. I really wanted to go there, and like I had all these Avril Lavigne covers that I wanted to do, but the studio guy was like, you can't come back here and do any more Avril Lavigne covers. You gotta write something, you gotta have an original. So I went home and I like, okay, I'll try. And that was just, English was just sort of the natural way to do it. But with the punk music, we listened to Swedish punk, so that was natural then. But mm-hmm. for pop music, we always listened to like American pop music, basically.
What's the difference between Swedish punk and British punk and maybe even American punk? Like, what would you say are the through lines and what are the differences there?
I think that Swedish punk sounds more rough.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there are, like, there are similarities, like, because it's all, like, fast-paced, but I think mm-hmm. the American ones are more, like, beefy, mm-hmm. in yeah. a way, like, yeah. America mm-hmm. beefy, you know? And the Swedes and the Brits are very, like,
dry, you know? Yeah, dry and rough.
Yeah. So would you say now that your music, it is pop, right? Or what would you define it as? Pop?
Yeah, well, it's...
We call it 21st century fuck pop.
Yeah, fuck pop.
So why is that?
Well, mainly because, like, so if you say that you play pop music, that's so broad. Like, there's so much to it. And, like, that's Ariana Grande, that's Harry Styles, that's anything. And just try to separate, like, so what we do and try to make the picture a little clearer. So that describes, like, there's an attitude to it. And we don't sing about, you know, just falling in love or just going to the club, like, or whatever. It's, there's something else.
Yeah, actually, I love, and too bad Thomas, or I thought his name was Tomas, but it's Thomas, isn't here because he said, we don't want to be your average singing, self-obsessed diary entries. We aim to do something bigger. However, we want to do it without moving to Stockholm, London, or LA and writing songs about beaches and being super fit. Yeah. Because what's interesting about that?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and also like these self-obsessed, we always try to write from a we perspective. Mm-hmm. So it includes like a group or like a people that feel the same way that we do, people that feel like outcasts or like freaks or weirdos or feel fed up with patriarchy or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like bringing people in, and that's what we constantly do with the Magnets, is that even in the like live shows and lyrics, everything is has to be like to invite people to be a part of it. That's very important.
You also say you want to reclaim the word ugly.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that... So, the word ugly has a negative tone to it. So, we want it to be, like, not like saying ugly is beautiful. Because beautiful is not interesting here. Ugly is interesting. Like, the deepest, the rawest version of yourself. That's what we find interesting and cool. And, like, showing that. There's so many, like, young... kids on Instagram or Twitter or whatever that's really doing like all these body positive things and like really trying to refine like whatever is considered the standard of how you're gonna look, because we're fed with all that information like on a daily basis, and it gets like especially girls like eating disorders, anxiety, like you see all these bloggers that go out, have a 6 a.m. flight and look perfect and tanned and their hair is right and everything is just... But is that really interesting, seeing that same thing all over?
No, yeah. I don't think so.
Like, is what you talked about is, like, our first album that we are releasing the 30th of June, it's all about that. Like it's called The Ugly Youth, and it's like we just want to say fuck that, this is like fuck the perfect beautiful, we want it ugly.
Yeah, there's a song on there called Ugly, and it's about that, like I don't want pretty, I want ugly, you know, because it's to us that's more interesting.
It is. I mean, that's truthful.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think we're so inundated with these images of perfection, as you said, because it's so easy to edit now.
Yeah.
It's not like back in the... Even with music. I love what you're telling me about my favorite song, and now I'm going to try to get it right. This is about the place you're from in Sweden, and it's called Pajala. Pajala?
Pajala.
Pajala.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is one of my favorite songs. And I think, Stephen, I did send it an email, so if you have it, please pull it up. But it's just so beautiful. And you said this will be on the album, and you did it in one take.
Yes, it's an acoustic version. And it means a lot to us because it's like we took the melody from an old folk song from, I think it's a Finnish folk song.
Yeah, but it's like from the very popular from our hometown. Yeah. Like.
So we wanted to do something special about that, and we made it ours.
Yeah,
right.
Our own version.
And you did it in one take, and that's so rare, especially in pop music. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in fuck pop music.
But no, everything's loud.
But it's so nice to hear something. First of all, your voices are, like, insane. I want to ask you about that, so we'll sidetrack to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But it's so nice to hear something that isn't completely crisp and processed, and that comes from your guts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that song really did it for me.
Thank you.
Oh, you got it pulled up? Yeah, let's play a little bit of it. And are all these original lyrics, or are they from the folk song?
They're original, and the melody of the verses is from that. So it's actually in Finnish, and it's about, like, I think it's about sitting under a tree or something. It's, like, very chill.
And what's this one about?
Well, we sort of, it's sort of like, well, we started, like, going off of it, of, like, a bad relationship towards, like, any sort of addiction, mm-hmm. if it's in, it's a relationship, another person, or if it's alcohol, or if it's, you know, whatever, then it's like something that's really not good for you in a way, but mm-hmm. keeps you going in. And the tango thing is like very popular, this written, so that's why we have the 1, 2, 3 and the dance mm-hmm. thing theme to it. But we really wanted to show, because the album is a pop record, it's really right. like straight yeah. up electronic beats, and to put this in like the middle, just to break it down, and not being afraid to show this is like folk mm-hmm. a folk melody, but not being afraid to show like where we're actually from, and this is like the culture that yeah. we're from.
I love that.
Yeah,
it is so important to infuse that into your art.
Yeah.
And in that line that Thomas says, does that mean that you want to stay, are you still living in Payala?
Yeah, we yeah. do. Yeah,
you
yeah.
do, and you intend to stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it's like, because we travel so much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, when we get a chance to, like, just have a couple of days off, we want to be there.
Yeah.
We don't want to be in Stockholm or London or
no,
whatever.
And when people ask us about, like, where we live, and we say Payala, and they're like, oh, shit, you're from Payala, but where do you live now?
Yeah.
So
we're like,
yeah,
home.
But we live in Payala. What?
Mm-hmm. So there's like, there's also this like vibe and norm of yeah, you have to move to the big city to make it, mm-hmm. and you have to move to Stockholm, and people's been telling us that like since we started playing music, like you got to move to Stockholm, and yeah. that's like, we were like, no, we're not gonna do that, like, because we have internet now, we have
right.
like, we sit in Payala and have meetings with our label every week, that's in the US, mm-hmm. like it works.
It does.
Yeah. We don't have to be in Stockholm to do that.
You certainly don't. I mean, that wouldn't make any sense. It's not like you're getting closer.
No.
So that's wonderful. And I think it comes through in your authenticity, because people, I think it's so easy. I'm from Michigan originally, Detroit. And when you move away from home, you have to constantly remind yourself where you're from, or else the city mm-hmm. can consume you.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
so I think it's so good that you have that foundation. You don't have to worry about that. And then you can just focus on creating your art. Mm-hmm. And then you'll
yeah.
travel. And
yeah.
you'll be fine. And you'll get all those different flavors. But then you have your base that you come home
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It feels good. And it's, I think that has, it's very important for us to feel that we have something to go back to,
yeah.
you know, that where we have our parents, our family, our dogs, you
yeah.
know, so that it helps us, like, do this, like,
full force.
Yeah.
Cause this,
give it all.
There's still that thing in us that we want to go out and we want to see stuff and we want to do that, and,
yeah.
like, there's, like, tingling and
right.
itching in our fingers, and we just want to do stuff. So even, like, getting back home and for it to be completely, like, chill, and you know everything, you know mm-hmm. everyone, mm-hmm. Everything's exactly the same. And then once you've had that for a couple of days, you just want to go out there again. So there's this, that fire is still there. And it's
right.
good to have, like, both sides, because we're used to being around nature, riding snowmobiles and
that's
going
fun.
Out in the woods
fishing.
And fishing. So we're, like, because we're small town girls.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I just rode a four-wheeler for the first time, like, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
It was really scary. But
was
it felt
scary?
Like a badass.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did that, too, like,
yeah.
last week.
Yes.
Really? Where were you?
At my place.
And Payala?
Payala.
Payala?
So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I went up a mountain. But the good thing about doing that kind of stuff is you can't have anxiety, because all you can do is focus on what's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good lesson for life.
Yeah, definitely.
Being out in nature. So that's good that you go to get your inspiration from there. Speaking of being home, though, what do your parents feel about this path you've chosen, and how have they advised you?
We both of us got very, like, we're very lucky that we have parents that supports us and, like, understands. Because I would understand if they wouldn't understand. Because it's, like, a big
get
risk.
Get a real job or get a education or this is not a safe, like, this is not a safe, like, life or... So
yeah, you don't have a solid, like, I know that in 4 years I'm going to be done with this and then I'm going to have this pay and, you know, this job. I'm going to be there's no security in that kind of way. So for them to, like, support us and go all in with us, that's just, we're so lucky.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And your dad, you said, is a musician. So is that what he does professionally, or is it his hobby more so?
Yeah, it's more of a hobby. Wow. But he has like, he has a band that's very popular up there.
Oh, nice.
And I used to be their biggest fan. And, like, when I was, I think I was 7, I had a cover band of my dad's band.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wait, tell me how that went down. Did you perform before him, or would you go out to... That's
so cute. We actually got to do that. So we have this festival that's in Paila Makna, it's called. And that's, like, the biggest thing that's happening in Paila. Mm-hmm. Everyone is, like, looking forward to that. That's the best thing during the year. And Peter, our manager, can sign up on that. He knows.
Shout out to Peter.
Yeah, Peter, the manager.
Peter, and the manager.
The manager. But, yeah, so they have, like, they play every year at that festival. So they put us, it was me and a friend, and we were lip syncing.
You were 7.
Yeah, and I had shorts on, and I had a bow tie and a tie. And they had this song about riding a scooter in the summer. So I had 2 plastic cups that I did like this to for it to look like a scooter. And it was like over 1,000 people in the audience, and, like, now when I look back on it, I was like, that
holy cow, 1,000 people.
Yeah.
So you always had this in you from the time you were a little kid.
Yeah, well, there was always, like, this, I wanted attention. I wanted to entertain.
Were you the same way?
Well, yeah, my father is a musician, too. Not, like, in the way that her father is. But we always had music in our home, like accordion and pianos and, yeah. But not, I wasn't, like, an attention whore like she was. But I became one later.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, because you probably balance each other out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially knowing each other for so long. And that's what's great about you two. Or when I hear of, like, sisters becoming musicians together, like, you know, the band Haim.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It always makes me happy, because this business is so hard. So to have somebody who's known you since you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
You always have that support. You know they'll be honest with you. You know, hopefully, I mean, God willing. And there aren't many stories of this where they're not going to screw you over. Mm-hmm. So that is also great that you have that foundation, too. So.
Oh, yeah. We always say that to each other, like, thank God.
Really?
We get to do this together, because, like, doing this alone would be so hard.
And it makes it easier to create, too, because you don't have that fear of judgment, because this person loves you no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, like, me and Thomas has this, like, when we write a song and we're going to present it to Sana, and it's, like, always that, okay, so if Sana's jumping, because Sana wears all her emotions on the outside.
Right.
So she'll be, if it's good, she'll be jumping out. She will run off the couch and, like, jump out the window. That's how she reacts sometimes. And if she doesn't do that, we know that, okay, we got to work on this a little bit more, you know?
What? Sana. Okay, am I saying it right now? Because I heard her say it that way, so I feel like I should say it that way.
Okay,
is that good?
Sana. Yeah.
Okay, so Sana, what song has made you go crazy and jump off the couch?
Killers in a Ghost Town, Renegades, Kim and Kanye.
Those are new songs.
Is it Kim and Kanye? Like, okay. Kim and Kanye?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a new song.
You have to wait for the next album.
Wait, you have to tell me what that's about.
That one is...
Is it literal?
Yeah, well, it's basically about... Yeah, we'll be Kim and Kanye if you like that shit.
Yes.
We'll be tight as shit.
Nice.
That's the song. It's super new, though.
I love that. Yeah. One time I was in a bar in Detroit, and some guy came up to me and was like, why don't you just be Kim and me be Kanye for one night?
Oh.
And I was like, that's the most creative pickup line, I think. Yeah. Wow. I'm not going to do it, but thank you. Yeah. I slowly backed away. I love that. Okay, well, yeah. I can't wait to hear that. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Speaking of the music, how do you keep your vocal cords fresh? Like, are there any tricks? What's your vocal care regime like?
We watch a lot of YouTube tutorials.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have, like, a vocal coach on the road.
Nice.
So we learned a lot of tricks like vocal fry. And I know that mm-hmm. some people have been like, that's damaging to your voice. But if you do it in control, if you're in control of the sound, do you know what vocal fry is?
I've only heard, like, vocal fry, like, when they're talking about how women now talk lower. So tell me. Mm. I don't know, actually,
so it's,
I guess.
it's like, ow.
Ooh.
It's like that. And you do it like, yikes, ow. And you do little things like, ah, 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 ah. And that actually is apparently very healthy for your voice.
So what does it do? What good does it produce?
I don't know. It's just good for the vocal cords, apparently.
Really?
Just eases them out or something. I don't know.
Maybe it vibrates them mm-hmm. more because you're making more of a creaky sound.
Yeah, and it makes you feel them or can control them more. I don't know.
Wow.
We just do what people tell us.
I love that. I've never heard that. I've taken mm-hmm. a lot of voice lessons, but I've never heard the vocal fry technique, so I'll have to YouTube that after this.
Yeah.
Give me a lesson.
Vocal fry.
So when you're singing, because I was trying to figure out what you're doing, I was listening to it, you don't have a break in your voice. Are you singing in chest voice, head voice, or is there a mix that you're using?
Well,
I think it's a mix.
It's a mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that a natural mix, or are you making it happen?
I don't know. I don't think about that.
Wow.
Like, how I do stuff. Yeah. I just sing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's bad to... I don't know if I have the, like, the control of my voice. But I just sing and, yeah.
We're not very schooled.
No.
Like,
not at all.
We just started playing live straight away, and then we were like, we don't need singing
And, I mean,
lessons.
We started out as a punk band. We were just screaming.
Yeah. So. There you go. Well, probably compared to that, this feels so simple for you, because if you're going from screaming to, like, singing, because the way you sing now is very connected, and I mean, you're naturally doing things that most trained singers do.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Well, I think the hardest part when it comes to singing is finding, like, what is your voice
mm-hmm.
and sort
mm-hmm.
of, like, to find a way to twist it and bend it and mm-hmm. be in control in that way, to really, like, get to know your voice. I think that's what took the longest.
Right.
Mm. To do. And when once you've done that, then you can do anything, like, with it.
Yeah. And when you're writing, do you think about, okay, well, I'll sing this part and then she'll sing this part? How do you kind of figure that out when you bring the song out?
Well, yeah, we think a lot about that, especially with the album. We have songs where, like, so I'm usually lower. Mm-hmm. So we have, like, me singing the first verse an octave lower, and mm-hmm. then Sana sings the second verse an octave higher, because her voice is very, like, it's like chimes. It's very, like, sultry and smooth, and sort of, it's really good when it's up there, and I have the lower mm-hmm. part. So that's how we try to work it, and we try to not make it like, oh, we gotta sing it the same, but try to get what's best out of our voices are different
mm-hmm.
but try to get what's best out of it and put it in the song. So
that's good. And then once that happens, do you take the song and then you edit it, or, like, how does that work? Does it usually just work out the first pass through?
It's always better when, like, Sana is in the room and we write together. Like, two of the songs that we wrote in Nashville that's on the record, called So Bad, that we released as a single, mm-hmm. And Lovers/Losers, those were two songs that we were all three of us were in the room. And that's when you sort of can right away start dealing with that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, how does this feel comfortable for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how is this singing? And, like, it just becomes natural, you know? So that's probably, we try to get that to that point, like, right away, because it's just easier that way.
Right, and then nothing's locked in, because it's so much harder to go back and do microsurgery once you've been singing it for a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
That's good. And of all your lyrics, if you could pinpoint one set of lyrics, what would you be most proud of and why?
You go first.
Which one I'm proud of?
Turpakini minun
haters.
What does that mean?
Because I come up with that.
Came up with that.
Yeah. It means shut up, my haters. But durpakini minun is in Finnish.
Oh, so that means kill them?
No.
Oh.
Shut up.
Oh, okay. Because Finnish, like if I finish you, that means you're dead.
Okay, yeah, but yeah. In Finnish, like Finland.
Got it.
Finnish.
Oh, so, Finnish haters.
Yeah.
Bye, Finnish haters.
No, not Finnish haters, but yeah. They will understand what we are talking about.
Right.
So it's like, shut up, my haters.
Shut up, my... Because we live 10 minutes from Finland, so Finnish and, like, our minority language, which is meänkieli, it's very important for us, and we have been hearing it our whole life.
So how many languages do both of you speak?
Well, we speak Swedish and English, and we wish we were speaking meänkieli, but it's the older generation that is, like, speaking it, because... They didn't talk to kids meänkieli.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
They were not allowed to do it. A lot. Like, first generation Europeans won't speak to their kids in their native tongue because they want to assimilate.
Yeah.
So is it the same thing there?
Yeah. Well, during the, I don't know, a long time ago, they were not allowed to speak meänkieli in school. Oh. So
why
I think
is
that's
that?
What... Because they had to speak... Swedish. Yeah.
Okay. And also people thought that your brain could only store a certain amount of language. So if you were to speak meänkieli, that would take up the space from the Swedish in your brain. So you got to get rid of meänkieli. You couldn't speak it. So because you're in Sweden, you got to speak Swedish. So there's a lot of like shame and guilt to that language that's really been passed on. So that's why like our parents know the language, but we don't. We just we've heard it like a melody, but never.
I think you should write about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be really powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people here can relate to that too, not having. As great of access to their culture as they could have because their parents were ashamed and they wanted to assimilate and they didn't want to be different. Like, I'm 100% Italian. I don't know a word of Italian because our parents were the same way. They didn't want to pass that down because they thought it would make us different.
Yeah.
So that'd be really an interesting topic to get on. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you see, too, like, when we talk about it and we talk about the minorities, like, people... really can't, even though it's very different, and for us it's more like a regional minority, like where we're from, but people can still like feel like they relate and to like that forgotten language and that forgotten culture, and that's people try to wash out, like they change, a lot of people change their Finnish names into Swedish just to try to make something out of themselves, like get jobs and just do well for themselves, so my name would have been different if it weren't for that, and probably yours too, and all that. So
that's powerful.
Yeah.
But we see that. I mean, the older generation, they're very happy, and a lot of people come up to us and say, like, some people even cry and tell us that they're proud of us and they are so happy that we're doing this and like reclaiming the meänkieli back to the pop music.
So that we're not, the shame hasn't been passed on to us.
Right.
Because we're looking at our parents like, why didn't you teach us?
Yeah.
Like, why? I wanted that language. Like, it's so hard now to start learning it because you're a grown up and you're got other stuff to do.
But albums to write.
Yeah. But so we're looking at them like, why? What's the deal? And not knowing that there's this whole, like, heritage of shame, basically.
Oh, that's powerful. Write that down. Heritage of shame.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to write that.
Got something cooking here.
Yes. That's really good. So many people can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta do something with that, even more than you already have. So we got yours. Very cool. And I like the deeper meaning behind. What are your favorite lyrics you're most proud of and why?
Let me see. Let me skip through the songs in the album. So there's like different lyrics that are just good, like my favorite in different ways. Like Killers in a Ghost Town is like one of my favorite songs off the album.
What does that mean, Killers in a Ghost Town?
Well, it's basically, the song is written about like sort of a friendship that's coming out of this remote place that, you know.
You too.
Yeah, sort of. And sort of facing and fighting the world together. That's sort of what it's about, Killers in a Ghost Town. Yeah. So we're like out there, sweet little girls. We just want to fight, make faces, get wasted, and fuck around. that's the lyric. But I think there's a song, and Thomas mentioned it to me, and I never thought about it really, like the verses in a song called Renegades mm-hmm. on the album. It starts off with "Never knew you till I always did. We were mesmerizing crazy kids, melting in the summer heat. And in September will be history. Said I want you to remember me. Just close your eyes and do like this. I leaned in for a little kiss." And
I never knew you till I always did. So does that mean we're soulmates?
Yeah.
I love that.
Sort of like that.
That's
yeah.
a really cool way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when somebody takes a common concept and finds a completely different way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's like someone reached a hand out to you and felt your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very powerful. That's music.
That is music.
That's when that happens. But we always try to, like, because we wrote songs, like, I remember, like, when we wrote Bones, it came out of me watching us live, like, videos live, and we didn't have the songs that are on the record. Mm-hmm. So this was way back, and I was like, what are we actually saying, like, in between the songs and in our body language and how we're, like, putting ourselves out there in front of the people? That's not really translating to the songs. And that's like how Bones came out, which is sort of like there's a lot of attitude, and it's really about like how females were perceived as passive in their sexuality and as objects by male pop singers, and we got fed up with that and we wanted to flip it, but we really felt like we got to be fearless. Mm-hmm. And that's how this album came about. Like, we just said to ourselves, we got to say what we want to say, and we can't have any filters. It's that ugly thing. Mm-hmm. Like, let it be what it is. Don't try to put a filter on it. Don't try to edit it. Just let it be what it is, and let it be raw and naked and uncomfortable or whatever, but it's real.
So for women who maybe even aren't pop artists, just mm-hmm. working, trying to make a living in the world,
uh-huh.
what would be your advice to them if they are feeling like, you know, I gotta get out of this pattern I've been living because I'm playing it safe, mm-hmm. I'm being what everyone else wants me to be, I'm not being myself. How mm-hmm. can they take that first step toward being ugly and being themselves?
Well, I feel like it's hard to do alone when the whole world is telling you something different. The whole world is telling you to be a certain way. But there's not only that, even though you see that, but you can change that. So for one thing, like Instagram feed, what do you see every day? Do you see those perfect pictures? Can you change that? So that makes something else like normal, that you get some other information, some other images to make that normal, like real images, like people, real people doing real things and being honest, like seeing that. Just, I did that because I just felt like I felt really shitty
yeah.
looking at all this perfect stuff. So I tried to change my feed, and it just made a whole like difference. There's so much to get inspired from, so many like women who are just like just doing their thing and being real, and just, you know. So it's all about like controlling what you see and what information that you get in. I think that's the first step to really start feeling like, yeah, like for Lena Dunham, for example, like Girls, the TV show,
it's amazing,
was really like one of those things, like, because it was so like, it was so raw. It
so
was
raw.
So, like, the first opening scene of the first episode, like,
I don't even remember what it was. Was she naked?
Yeah, I think it was, like, a sex scene or something. And it was so, like, raw. And that just, it just made you feel like, yeah.
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 That's what it's actually like.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I think that's the first step. Control what you see.
Right.
So that you don't feel the pressure from all that perfect shit. Because that's not real.
Just, and everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that
it's a filter.
Yeah. They're literally filters.
Yeah.
There's a great quote. It's, if you don't feed yourself, the world will feed you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you do. You have to choose what to consume. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing.
Take control of it.
Mm-hmm. Who are some people, obviously Lena Dunham you just mentioned, but who are some people on Instagram that you follow that you think are good examples of that?
There's a Swedish girl called Arvida Bistrom, and she's like a photographer and artist, and she does a lot of art and is really like portraying the body in not a, a very like filterless way.
Honest.
So it's very very honest and not retouched or in any sort of way. And there's, we have a whole lot of that feed with our,
and also Sara Larsson, because she's very, the things she say, it's, I mean, she's only, is she 19 or something?
Yeah. I don't know. I need to look her up.
Do it. She's
Sara Larsson.
Artist.
Okay.
And she's so powerful.
Yeah. She has a very strong, she speaks her mind. And she's not like, it's so good to see like young girls who just say it and don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Like they just, yeah, of course I'm going to speak out if I think this is fucked up, you know?
Right. And that's something that I don't think we were taught. I mean, I don't know. I certainly wasn't taught that. It was like, be a nice little girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Be a good girl.
Be a good girl.
Yeah.
Be ladylike.
Yeah, and people have told us that don't forget your girly charm. Or
Really?
Yeah. That was like...
When? Like what?
4 months ago.
What were they reacting to that they said that?
It was a journalist.
Yeah. Because, like, now that you're traveling the world, don't forget about that girly little small-town girl charm, you know?
And we were like, eh,
That was a good reply.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yes.
Wow.
But that makes us, like, more want to forget about the girly charm.
Yeah. Because it's, like, such a weird thing to say. Like, so it feels like you're going to lock us up and not make let us know about the world? Like, what the fuck is that?
You should do, like, a music video where you're, like, dressed in, like, perfect little pink dresses and, like, have, like, but not fun pigtails. Like, you have, like, girly, like,